There's your announcement. Psalm 46. You ready to get in the Word? Happy 4th. Lots on our minds this particular 4th of July. And I think we go a lot of different places that would speak to where we are now, but I think Psalm 46, the Lord speaks very clearly to our situation today, where we are now. So this psalm was actually penned in the midst of, and you'll get the feeling of this as we read it, midst of some chaos, some danger in the life of the psalmist. And so just a time where there's a lot of trouble. And so that's the context that this psalm was written in. So keep that in mind as we read it now. So turn your attention to your copy of God's Word, Psalm 46. We're going to read all 11 verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He makes the bow and he breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Bow your hearts with me and let's ask the Lord for help as we dig into his word this morning. Father, we ask for your guidance in your word this morning, Psalm 46. There's undoubtedly a lot of things in our hearts and our minds that trouble us. Even on a weekend where we celebrate the freedom that our nation has and the freedom that we have within our nation, there's particular things that trouble us about the things that are happening within our nation. But Lord, I also know that there are many things that are troubling individuals just as believers this morning that we might not all have in common. Or we know we have brothers and sisters who are homebound this morning, who are in nursing homes this morning, who are in an extraordinarily tough season of their lives right now. So we pray that even as we study this truth here, those that are joining us by the internet or by radio, Lord, that you would minister to their hearts and their minds as well. And those that can't, Lord, we pray that you would also minister to their minds and their hearts. Comfort them, bring them peace. God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would help us understand the truth of your word this morning. And we ask that you would help us to take the truth of your word and apply it to our lives this morning. We love you and we ask all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen? Amen. All right, just checking. All right, so look at verse 1. Before we dive in, just so you know where we're going this morning, we're going to pull two pieces of truth out of this passage this morning that kind of color the entire passage of Psalm 46, and then we're going to pull the two commands that we find in this passage out and apply them to our lives as the psalmist does. And so that's where we're going, but before we even start there, I want you to notice something about this psalm. Verse 1, it says, God is our refuge. Verse 2, it says, therefore we will not fear. So the psalmist is talking about himself and other people in a particular group. And the particular group he's talking about is God's people, the Israelites at that time. Today, this psalm applies to all those who are in Christ, to all those who belong to Him, who are the church. So let's just quickly, as we always do at some point on Sunday mornings, quickly define what that means to belong to Jesus, to be in Him. Brings us to the gospel, right? So the Bible teaches us that we are all sinners, and as sinners, our relationship with God is broken, right? And we see that, we feel that in so many different ways in our lives as individuals, in our lives as families, and in our lives as a society. We see that and feel the ramifications of our sinful nature every day. God teaches us that our sinful nature breaks our relationship with Him. The Bible also teaches us that there's nothing we can do to fix that broken relationship with God. We're too far gone. Ephesians tells us that we're dead in our transgressions. We can't do anything to fix that relationship, but God in His grace and mercy and love, before we were even born, decided to do what to do to fix that relationship. And He sent His Son Jesus at just the right time. Fully God, fully man. He lived a perfect life that we were supposed to live in our place. In other words, while we're sinners and we broke God's law numerous different ways, we're still figuring out ways to break His law. And Jesus lived perfectly in our place. He did that for us. And then He went on to die in our place. The Bible teaches us that because of our sin, we deserve death, but Jesus died on the cross in our place as our substitute. 3 days later, after His death, after He was buried in a tomb, He rose from the dead, proving that He was God's Son, proving that His death was actually in our place, proving that He is indeed alive and can and should and is worthy of our trust. The Bible teaches us really simply, again, that there's nothing we can do to fix our relationship with God. But He sent Jesus to do all of those things that had to be done for our relationship with God to be fixed. And the Bible tells us to simply place faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, and we will be saved. And that's the good news. That's the gospel. And so when we read as people in the year 2020, and we read, God is our refuge, therefore we will not fear, that group of people is the people that are in Jesus, that have placed faith in Him. So if you as an individual have placed faith in Jesus, this psalm applies to you. If you haven't placed faith in Jesus, this psalm doesn't apply to you, but it can if you place faith in Jesus. Okay, so I just want to draw that line very clearly today. God's Word draws it very clearly. If you aren't Jesus, you can't pretend like these things are true of you. But we want to say very clearly to you today that they can. They can apply to you if you trust Jesus. Okay? So there's your invitation. We'll come back around to that as we close out our service today. So read verse 1. One more time. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Our first piece of truth this morning that we want to point out today is this. God is the protection of His people. God not provides protection for His people. God is the protection of His people. So if you're in Christ, you're a Christian, you've repented of your sins and placed faith in Jesus, as we just talked about a moment ago. Thing in verse 11, the God of Jacob is our fortress. So we have these two words. Verse 1, God is our refuge. Verse 7, 11, God of Jacob is our fortress. A refuge is an idea similar to what we might use today as like a bomb or storm shelter. A place that we go to be sheltered from attack or danger. That we step into. And the psalmist very clearly says that for the people of God, God is their refuge. God is the one whom we step into for protection from outside threat, outside storm, outside attack. Not only that, but 7-Eleven uses this word fortress. It's this idea of, I don't know if how many of you have seen that movie, The Lord of the Rings, but one part of it, there's this fortress in the side of a mountain, and the men that are defending it are up on top of it looking down. And for a time, they're safe and secure at the top of their fortress. And so not only is God our refuge, as in we get in Him, but God holds us up above the threat of an enemy. So we're safe and secure in Him. We're safe and secure held above the attack and from the attack by Him. He is our refuge. He is our fortress. The psalmist goes on to say, like, this devastating picture of things that are happening in the earth as if they might happen or could happen. Verses 2 and 3, it says, therefore, because God is our refuge and He is our fortress, therefore we will not fear, even though the earth gives way. Now just pause for a second. He's talking about the entirety of the earth. The earth gives way. Like rocking on its axis. The continents that we know to be still and immovable, moving and giving way. Not a pleasant picture. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Again, the most immovable objects that we know of, the mountains, being moved into the heart of the sea, into the ocean. Though the ocean's waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. So notice the contrast between us and the mountains. Verse 2, we won't fear. Even though, verse 3, the mountains are trembling in fear because of what the ocean's doing. Because God is our refuge and He is our fortress. Whether it's danger from nature, things that are far outside of our control, whether it's danger from dangerous individuals in our lives, whether it's spiritual danger, threat of bombarding doubt and worry and fear, whether it's the danger of a crumbling nation. Church, God is our refuge and our fortress. You can say how is this protection? The second part of verse 6 down to verse 8 says, He, talking about God, utters His voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. The psalmist reminds himself and those who are reading this psalm, us today, that God spoke the world into existence. Genesis 1, He said, let there be, and there was. And here, His voice utters, and the earth melts. So just as He brought it in to existence, He can take it out of existence. Our trust is in Him. He and nothing else is our refuge, our fortress. Verse 7 says, the Lord of hosts. And 11 says, the Lord of hosts. That word host can also means armies. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha and his servant find themselves in a predicament. And Elisha's a prophet of God. Find themselves in a predicament because they're out in the middle of nowhere and they find themselves surrounded by an army of men with horses and chariots looking for the two of them. And Elisha's servant is losing his mind. And Elisha says, "Don't worry. Those who are with us outnumber those who are with them." And Elisha's servant can't see it yet, but after a moment or two, a few verses later in 2 Kings 6, Elisha's servant's eyes are opened. And beyond the army of men, there's a greater army of angels up on the mountains surrounding the men that have come after them. The Lord was Elisha and his servants' refuge and fortress. Elisha knew that, so he never feared. Elisha's servant figured it out and probably didn't ever fear the same way he did that day ever again in his life. The Lord of hosts, verse 7 and 11 says, the Lord of hosts, angel armies, the Lord of angel armies is with us. For the Christian, this is even more poignant. 1 Corinthians 6:19, it'll be up on the screen for you to see. Says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you?" In context of this, he's talking about sin and what we do with our bodies, but the broader application of this goes way further than just that. That just as the Holy Spirit came and dwelt in the tabernacle in the wilderness in Exodus, so the Holy Spirit now indwells those who place faith in Jesus. He is with us. Romans 8:9, Paul says this, "Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." The implication of that is anybody that belongs to Jesus has his Spirit in them. John 14:7, Jesus encouraging his followers says, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And the Helper he's talking about is the Holy Spirit. Jesus ascended to heaven. The Holy Spirit came and indwelt all those who had placed faith in Jesus and all those who would place faith in Jesus, including you and I. That's good news, isn't it? That's why Jesus, when he gives us the Great Commission, Matthew 28:20, he ends it with, "Behold, and I will be with you always, even to the ends of the age." Soak that in for a moment. The Lord is with you. If you belong to him, you place faith in him, he is with you. Christian, we don't go to a place, a campus, a building. We don't go find a group of people so that the Lord will be with us. When we lay down, he is with us. When we wake up, he is with us. When we go do whatever we do during the day, if we have placed faith in him, his Spirit is in us. And that same God is our refuge and strength, our fortress. So just very simply to apply this to our lives, we find ourselves fearful of different things, fearful of the future, fearful of decisions, fearful of what's going on outside of us, perhaps today fearful of some of the things that are going on in our country. Take a deep breath and we sit in the truth that the Lord himself is our protection. He doesn't provide protection for us. He is our protection. That is good news. Truth piece two. Not only is God our protection, but God himself is the strength of his people. So when we talk about him being a refuge, we're talking about him being outside of us, protecting us from what's outside of us. But that's not the only thing he says in verse 1. He also says God is our refuge and strength. Strength, simply defined, is the inner act or ability to do something or not do something. Spiritually speaking, it's the strength to believe God and to trust him and to rest in him, to obey him in spite of what's happening around us. Not only is he our strength from the inside out, look at verse 4. Verse 4 is a wonderful glimpse of what we can enjoy today, resting in Jesus, but we will be able to fully enjoy for eternity in the presence of the Lord. Verse 4 says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And the city of God is referring not to a place, but to a people. You could easily say, whose streams make glad the people of God. After all, a city itself can't be glad apart from the people in it, right? There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, speaking about the city of God. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Notice the difference between the city of God and the rest of the earth. The people in the city of God, where this river is, are glad. They shall not be moved. They have the Lord's help. Outside the city of God, the very mountains are trembling because of what the oceans are doing. The earth is melting away. Kingdoms are tottering. Nations are raging. We see this again in Revelation 22. Be up on the screen for you if you want to look there and just write it down and look at it later in your copy of God's Word. Revelation 22, this is John's vision that the Lord gave him what will become of God's people in the future. And he says, the angel showed me the river of the water of life, river, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. You can bet John had Psalm 46 in his mind as he was writing down these words. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Christian, this is your secured eternity in Christ. Verses 4 and 5 in Psalm 46 and verses 1 through 5 in Revelation 22. And the key component of both of those scenes is not the river, it's not the city, it's not the people, it's not the safety, it's God. And that makes the people of that city glad. It gives them strength to endure. Not simply protection, but strength gives faith, gives knowledge, gives wisdom, gives hope, gives endurance, gives love, gives joy. There's a difference in between going into a storm shelter in the midst of a storm, closing the door, and shivering and being nervous and miserable while the storm passes. And walking into that storm shelter and sitting down and taking out the food you had set aside for this moment and sitting there just enjoying peace and quiet from the rest of the world and going, it's going to be okay. And I think that's the part that we struggle with as Christians a lot of times. We have no hang up believing that God can stop cancer. We have no hang up believing that God can place and remove whichever politicians he sees fit. But we do struggle to believe that he will give us strength to endure if he sees fit to do it some other way. And so we not only need to hear that God is our refuge and fortress this morning, we also need to hear that God is our strength. Not only can he and does he protect us from outside threat, but in the day that he chooses not to protect his child from a temporary earthly threat, we better cling and know and sit and rest in the truth that he will be our strength. Perhaps that's where you sit today. You have no problem believing that the Lord could remove the trial that you're walking through today. You know he can. You trust that he hasn't because he knows what is best. But you're struggling to believe that he'll give you the strength to endure until he does. And I just want to remind you, or rather let Scripture remind you, God, he doesn't just give you strength. He is your strength. God is our protection. He is the protection of his people. He is the strength of his people. You guys still with me? Therefore, there's two commands in this passage that we come across. In light of the truth that is this passage, God is the protection of his people. God is the strength of his people. Therefore, verse 8, come behold the works of the Lord. Christian, this should just be something that we do rhythmically in our lives, regularly in our lives. It's one of the things, one of the reasons that the songs we sing are filled with what the Lord has done on our behalf. Everything from him creating the world to him plucking out Abraham from among the nations and making a nation from Abraham, and from that nation bringing Jesus into our world to be the Savior and light to the nations, including us, saving me from my sin, saving you from your sin. And the list of the works of God goes on and on and on and on. There's nothing he can't do. And this psalm says, the one who's your refuge, the one who is your strength, just take a moment and think about the things that he has done. And you'll be able to rest a little bit better in the fact that he is your protection and he is your strength. So take that home. Go do it. Behold the works of the Lord. Review them. In times of trouble, review the works of the Lord. Number two, in times of trouble, we become still and know that he is God. Verse 9 is, you'll notice there's quotation marks there. That's because, excuse me, verse 10. I got it marked wrong in my notes. Verse 10, you'll notice quotations there because this is the voice of the Lord in verse 10. This is the voice of the Lord, not just giving his people a command, but giving all of creation a command. All people everywhere, whether they belong to him or not, he gives them a command. Be still. Remember earlier in this passage, the nations are raging and the kingdoms are tottering. His voice echoes across the earth, be still. And one day they will. And one day every knee will bow. But for those who are in Christ, there's a difference between the one who is rebelling against Christ and they, when they hear his voice, to be still, and they are forced to their knee. And the difference who, between that person and the person whose knee is already bowed. Be still. We can be still now and rest in him. Be still and do what? Be still and know that I am God. Know that regardless of what happens today or tomorrow in the year ahead, know that one day I will be exalted among all nations. One day I will be exalted in the earth. And be still and you can know that, Christian. There's places that are sweet in God's word where God's word says, we know. Several places like that in Romans chapter 8. We know that creation is groaning as in the pains of childbirth, waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Later in Romans chapter 8 it says, for we know that all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose, for those who love God. We know that. And here, God, his voice says, be still and know that I am God. You can rest, Christian. You can rest in the one who is your protection and the one who is your strength. And I hope if you're having trouble doing that, you'll be able to take this psalm home and just fill your mind and your heart with it this week and ask the Lord, Lord, you are my strength. Please be my strength, strong enough to help me just sit and rest in you and knowing that you are God and I'm in you and I'm safe and secure no matter what comes my way. Amen. We're going to close out the service singing this morning. We're going to sing the last song we sang together about the name of Jesus. So as a Christian, maybe you want to sit and pray and just ask the Lord to help you rest in him who is your protection and your strength. Maybe you just want to sing about his wonderful name, his sweet name. If you're here today, go back to the first thing we said this morning and you're not a Christian, the invitation is open to you to come forward as we sing. Even if you're not ready, but you have questions about becoming a Christian, we'd love to talk with you. And you can come forward if you're ready or not. But you just have questions as we sing, or you can come forward and find us afterwards. We'll sit down with you and open the Bible with you and show you what it means to give your life to Christ today. We'd love the opportunity to do that. We would celebrate with you if you do. Let's pray and let's sing. Father, we adore you. You are our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You are always near. You are with us. You are in us. You are always, always there, never forsaking us. Lord, we prayed earlier today. We thank you for the freedom we have in our country to praise you, to tell others about you, to gather in buildings with signs out in front of them. We thank you for the freedom we have in this country. Lord, there's a lot that troubles us. And as your people that belong to you, your church, and this particular nation, Lord, we ask that you would help us to trust you as our protection and our strength, our refuge. That you give us wisdom how to navigate these waters that we're in. Lord, thank you for being near to us. A lot of other situations in the life of our church family that apply to individuals that are troubling and hard. Different kinds of suffering among our church family. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would help those individuals and those families trust you and rest in you, to be still and know that you are their God, that you have them, and that you are their strength. Lord, help us to believe. Lord, we pray for those that don't yet believe in you, have yet to repent. We pray that you would lead them to repentance and belief today. We ask all these things in the wonderful and precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand together.